This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Last week we talk a bit about the hadith of Tamim al-Dari رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الدين النصيحة الدين النصيحة الدين النصيحة قلنا لمن قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامته. So last week we were discussing the meaning of the nasiha لله عز وجل. So we reached a place where the commentator says, الشارح of the رياض الصالحين says, ومن النصيحة لله أن يكون الإنسان دائما ذاكرا لربه. It's part of the nasiha lillahi ta'ala. An yakuna al-insanu dhakiran, da'iman dhakiran li rabbihi. To be in a state of dhikr lillahi ta'ala, constantly observing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your heart, with your tongue, and with your lips. And last week I have mentioned to you that one of the most important types of adhkar is to practice the dhikr with your lips, which is to do the righteous things and to stay away from the evil deeds. That's the best remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what does the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit a person if you are going to say the dhikr, but you go against it with your lips? So the best thing to show that you see this in that dhikr of yours, which you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to have you been practicing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do, which is necessary based on the dhikr you're doing. Because when you say La ilaha illallah, what does that mean? It means there is none to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which necessitates that you have to dedicate all of your activities lillahi ta'ala. And you're not going to be missing in places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see you. And also you're not going to be present in places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to see you in that place. These are all part of the La ilaha illallah that we always say. You get it on the daily basis. When you say Subhanallah, glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillah, are you really appreciating those blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you really practicing the thanks? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'malu ala Dawood shukra. That means you can practice the shukr, not necessarily saying it with the tongue, you can say it also with the jawarih. Which means to do those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do and to stay away from the evil doers. So we have three types of means to practice the dhikr through them. Either you do it with your tongue, which could be practiced at any moment, including the moment where you cannot make the dhikr with the lisan. For example, somebody who is inside the bathroom. You're not supposed to say the dhikr out of the respect of this sha'ira of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your tongue, but you can practice it with your heart. Because you're not reading, this is contemplating. You're pondering upon the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and its meaning. So there will be no problem with that. And thus, wallahu a'lam, is part of the meaning of the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, when she says, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhkurullaha ala kulli ahin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every moment of his time. I mean, there is no time where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should think and contemplate. This is also part of the dhikr. Look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think about the wisdom behind the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are a lot. You get it? Don't go too far, just think. and observe the way you were created and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, it will be more than enough for you to reflect upon the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come back to your consciousness. Allah says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Why can't you just focus on the way you were created, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let you function, the way you live your life, how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you? These are more than enough to cause you a reflection. You get it about that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do. And these ayat that you see, anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is actually ayah. Ayah means a sign that guides you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is a sign to help you and guide you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the poet says, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. And every single thing that you see in this life is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on earth to lead the humankind to that which they are supposed to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his wahdaniyah. That's why he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Get it? He said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وَلَعَالَمُ كُلُّ مَنْ سِوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. It says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Who is the Rabbil Alameen? The Lord of the universe, the Lord of the creation. Who is Alam? Al-alamu kullu man siwa Allah azza wa jalla. Anything other than Allah is called alam. And this alam is created by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some scholars said, summiya alaman. It is called alam because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it like alam. Alam is a sign, is a flag that shows the existence of a city, a state, a country. Right? So when you have this alam, is a sign that shows the existence of Allah. A sign that shows also the wahdaniya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His unity in His creation and His action. Because لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَفَسَدَتَ. If you're going to have two creators for the earth and for the heavens and for the creation, you would never see the creation in the way it is now. Human beings have different approaches, different features, but the same position of the nose, the same position of the eyes, the same position of the head, the same position of the hand. You got to imagine that is somebody, subhanAllah. How do you think the creation will be? They're going to have differences, right? This one says, human beings, I want him to look like this. The other one will say this and that. So having human beings looking alike in terms of the natural existence, the way they exist, although colors and languages and features different, but the normal, natural anatomy is the same. Having this one is enough to confirm to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. The one who made them is one. And He is the one who is making the decision and finalizing the decision without consulting anyone. So part of the nasiha to Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dinu an-nasiha liman qala lillah." Part of the nasiha lillahi azza wa jal is to constantly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to look into His creation as a guide. You get it? To the existence of this act of tawheed. Qala wa min an-nasihati lillah an takuna غيرته لله فيغار لله إذا انتهكت محارمه كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هكذا فإنه لا ينتقم لنفسه أبدا. He said, it is part of the nasiha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be jealous of your religion and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I mean by that? I mean, not jealous of Allah, but jealous for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sorry for that word. To be jealous for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means you don't take revenge when somebody did something wrong upon you. Whoever does something wrong upon you, you don't take revenge. But if something is to be done against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you take action. If you are part of the authority, you can use your hand to take action. If you're not part of the authority, but you can speak about it, you speak about it with wisdom. If you cannot speak about it, but at least you hate the action from your heart. It's a very important concept, right? So, your attitude towards humankind, when somebody do something wrong to you, forgive. Allah says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Wallahi, this is خُلُقُ الْعِظَامِ. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. To have somebody misbehaving towards you, acting in a very negative way towards you, and everyone knows that this man is wrong, but at the same time you handle it, you observe it, you are patient, you don't take action, you don't take revenge. This is attitude of the great people in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's too painful, but if you can hold your breath and show no revenge, Instead of that, you forgive. Allah will increase you. Allah will elevate you in ranking. And you will never be decreased by that. That's the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never decrease a person because of his forgiveness towards others. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always increase that person and elevate him in ranking. The more you forgive, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring you closer to him. And that was the attitude of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, idfa billati hi ahsan. Always reply with the good. Get it? But when it comes to Allah's right, these are not your right, these are not my rights, then you will be jealous for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take the necessary action according to your capability. I guess this is very clear and very, very important. A person should be like that. This ghayra should be with you. This remembrance should be with you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Sa'ad came to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, if a person finds somebody with his wife and they're both committing zina, Ya Rasulullah, does that mean he has to go and look for 4 witnesses and then come back? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, you have to bring 4 witnesses for you to establish the case. He said, Wallahi Ya Rasulullah, it would never happen like that. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Wallahi, I would drop down his head immediately. I would cut off his head immediately. Then you guys can do whatever you wish. But to go look for witnesses and I see them committing the zina, Wallahi Ya Rasulullah, I can't tolerate that. The Prophet laughed and he told the companions, Ya Rasulullah, and he told the companion, he says, أَتَعْجَبُونَ مِنْ غَيْرَةِ السَّعَادِ. He said, are you amazed with his jealousy? What do you think about his jealousy? They said, Ya Rasulullah, he's like that. Everyone knows. In Medina, he is known to be the person that never married a woman except if she's virgin. Never married a woman who used to be with somebody else. So a woman became a widow, she lost the marriage or the husband died, Sa'ad will never marry. Doesn't want somebody who stayed with somebody else. That's his own policy. Do you get an idea? And also, he was so, jealous. In such a way, his jealousy is placed in the wrong way. Because they said, not only that, nobody can marry a woman who used to be with him. That means if a sister agreed to marry him, she has to be patient with him until death. Otherwise, if she is to be divorced by him, nobody can approach her because they are afraid of the action he's going to take. You get an idea. So when Islam comes, of course, he knows that now he has restriction. He can't do what he used to do in the Jahili era. So that's why he was asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, I have to bring witnesses for this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, you have to bring witnesses. He said, Wallahi, Ya Rasulullah, I can't. I'm going to cut off his head on the spot. This is wrong, 100% wrong. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not approve it, but he tried to establish something which is more beneficial than his statement about the jealousy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how a Muslim should be. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَتَعْجَبُونَ مِنْ غَيْرَةِ السَّعَدِ. And then they told him what they said. The Prophet ﷺ said, Wallahi, la ana aghyaru minhu. He said, Wallahi, my jealousy is stronger than his. Najib, if the jealousy of Sa'ad is like that, the jealousy of Muhammad ﷺ is greater than this. The only difference is the jealousy of Muhammad ﷺ is placed in the right place. Sa'ad goes beyond the limit. But the Prophet ﷺ is more jealous than him. That's why Sa'ad can tolerate to even hear the evil and talk about it. Do you get an idea? Talk about it, not in the negative way, in terms of reformation. How does that happen and how can we tolerate that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't even want to hear somebody talking about the evil of that kind. That's why when somebody sent his friend to go and consult the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the case of his wife, who was found to be having relationship with one of the brothers there, Shirik bin Sahma, his name. So he saw them with his own eyes and he sent his friend to go and consult the Prophet about what can he do. The Prophet got annoyed with that question and he chased away the brother who came to him. Told him, I don't want you to discuss this issue with me. Is it possible to happen? Yes, the man says, I saw. But this is to show you how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to create a healthy and a pure environment. Even to talk about the evil is not good. Because sometimes, Allah, believe it or not, you mentioning the evil, you're not helping the evil to be curbed. You're increasing it. You're telling some of the criminals that, yeah, it is possible to be committed in this place because this one did it and there was no action taken against him. But if nobody knows, they still have this nervousness. A person who wants to do but still thinking of the possible action that is going to be taken by the authority. That's why keeping evil silent is always necessary. Don't talk about it unless if it is necessary. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, I don't want to hear about that. He chased him away. Until the time the one who sent the brother came by himself, and then he asked the question, and Allah SWT sent down the ayat of Li'an, as you already know. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Wallahu aghyaru minni. So if you cannot imagine how great, and you cannot imagine the quantity of the ghayra of Rasulullah, how about that of Allah SWT? قال والله أغير مني من أجل ذلك حرم الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all kinds of fawahish and sins and evil doings, no matter how much small they are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them impermissible. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغَارْ وَغَيْرَةُ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ لَعَبْدٍ مُؤْمِنْ مَحَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَغَارْ. And the jealousy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to see his slave, the believing slave, doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he shouldn't do. You get it? Always remember this hadith. It will help you, my brothers and sisters, to reflect and to keep this muraqaba lillahi azza wa jal. Inna Allah yaghar wa ghayratullahi an ya'ti al-abdul mu'min ma harram Allahu alayhi. So a Muslim should be upon these stands. This ghayra should be there. You're having the ghayra upon what? The religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody touched the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you reply, you shouldn't keep quiet. But as I said, also you do it according to your capability and authority. كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينتقم لنفسه أبدا مهما قال الناس فيه لا ينتقم لنفسه ولكنه إذا انتهك محارم الله صار أشد الناس انتقاما ممن ينتهك حرمات الله فيغار الإنسان على ربه فلا يسمع أحدا يسب الله أو يشتم الله أو يستهزئ به إلا غار من ذلك. So a person shouldn't keep quiet. You can't hear somebody who is cursing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cursing the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? Insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or making fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless you have the jealousy to. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you take action against that. How do you take action? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve our community. But if you hear somebody cursing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have authorities, right? You immediately, you don't keep quiet. Whoever this person might be, take the case to the authority. And try, inform them. If you can't do that, look for somebody who can approach the authority in the community and tell them so that he can send it. You don't do that by yourself. Because if I find somebody who is cursing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I take action, do you get an idea? He has his family, he has his friends also. They will come and take action against you. And then how can we control the situation? Do you get an idea? People might be getting a person and kill him, and then when you ask them, why did you kill him? They will say, he cursed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we have this? We have. Do you get an idea? They mentioned, wallahu alam, whether it happens or not, but one of the police tried to deceive one of the brothers, so he held him, trying to take him to the police station. So the guy screamed, and he told people that this man cursed the Prophet a lot. Immediately the community jumped on there, because these are the areas they can't tolerate, and this is wrong. Even if it is true that the man do curse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or he cursed Allah, he shouldn't take action. We have the authority, we should take it there. This is their responsibility. You get it? One of the earliest responsibility and heavy responsibility upon them. And then leave them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important point, right? It draw guidelines. You get it? It draw red lines between your relationship and others. You Again, as long as they don't cross this boundary, you go with them. When they do that, as I said, you do that according to your capability. قال ومن النصيحة لله أن يذب عن دين الله عز وجل الذي شرعه لعباده فيبطل كيد الكائدين ويرد على الملحدين الذين يعارضون الدين كأنه قيود تقيد الناس عن حرياتهم والحقيقة أنها قيود حرية لأن الإنسان يتقيد لله. It is part of the nasiha lillah azza wa jalla for you to defend the religion of Allah. You know, we're just talking about defense for the religion, not defense against your wishes and your interests, no. To defend the religion of Allah. How? So whenever you hear about the plot of those Orientalists, those people who get inside Islam to destroy Islam from inside, you write, refute them in their writing. They publish a lot. Write articles, books to refute them. You guys speak in public areas where you can speak. Lectures to talk about this plot against the Muslim community. This is part of the nasiha lillahi azza wa jalla. You get it? This is really necessary, especially the time we're living in. Where religion is portrayed as what? A very conservative and rigid religion which is not flexible. Which restricts humankind from observing their freedom. This is what they always say nowadays. When I see Islam as a religion of what you call rigidity and so strict. A person will be living a life which is very illogical. You're going to be restricted. Islam put a lot of restriction. Is that true? Yes. Islam put restriction. But restriction against what? Against the hurriya that leads you astray. That's the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dunya sijn al-mu'min wa jannat al-kafir." There is no mutlaq al-hurriya in Islam. Mutlaq al-hurriya means you have an absolute freedom to do whatever you wish. This one doesn't exist in Islam. Islam has certain restrictions. It grants freedom, the best one. But the freedom that destroys the person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this religion, block any means that can destroy you. These are the restrictions. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, dunya is just like sijin for the believer. Sijin means prison. Wa jannatul kafir. And it's a paradise for the non-Muslim. Why dunya is sijin for a believer? Because you cannot do anything in this life. There are certain restrictions. How many people want to drink wine? And they don't drink wine because Allah says, do not drink wine. Allah. How many people want to join the nightclub and go and dance and sing and do all of those stupidities which culturally, get it, which culturally are rejected by any common sense? How many people want to join that? Allah. But then because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't go for that. That's restriction. You see, a lot of things people are doing which are very enjoyable, very interesting when you look at them with the eyes of the dunya. You see, they are interesting. It should be okay according to the aql. But then you stop going for that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no. You get people who are becoming so rich because of what? They put their money in the place which is all about interest. They get this free money. People like this job. Everyone love it. But you don't join that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no. Sometimes you graduated and the job that kept on coming, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested you. All the jobs that comes to you and are offered to you are wrong Islamically. You say no to them. Why? Because of the restriction. While other people are taking it, they don't mind. So what I'm trying to say is you have all of these restrictions, but if you look at them properly, these restrictions are for your own benefit. What does riba do for humankind in these days? Even if a person is blind or deaf, he knows that we are not in a good mood. Our economy is not in a good mood. Economy of the world is not in a good mood. Remove all of these interests and build it upon the divinely given revelation and see what will happen. Everyone will enjoy and peace is going to be on earth. Because the moment we go for riba, the one who created the world, the place where we live in, he said it doesn't work. You can live in this place. You cannot live in this place doing this and I will let you go with it. It will not happen. He said, this is equal to declaration of a war with me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. قَالَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفَعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Tell me, how is it possible for a nation to succeed if riba is in existence in them. Because this is equal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, it's equal to fighting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are in a state of war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can you succeed? Wallahi, it will never happen. So when Allah says, la ta'kulu riba, don't take riba, who is benefiting from that? Nobody is except us. When Allah says, don't take rishwa, don't bribe, who is benefiting from that? We're benefiting from that. When Allah says, don't come closer to zina, don't have any illegal relationship, who is benefiting from that? The community is benefiting from that. Read the newspapers every day, you will see what the communities are suffering from nowadays, which are the result of breaking this barrier that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put. So these are the restrictions that the enemies want you to look at them as restriction against your freedom. In such a way, a Muslim will come and tell you nowadays, no, I am free to do whatever I want. No, not in the religion of Allah. In the religion of Allah, you are not free. You are supposed to follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for you for your own benefit. It doesn't benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it benefits the community. I really invite each and every one of us to read the history and see what happens when people are very dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happened to the communities? History kept for us a very good memory in this regard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to wake up, to understand that no success except in following that which is revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's human being, right? We don't want this slavery. Get it? We don't want to be slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time we became the slaves of who? Shaitans and the devils and our own desire. That's true, because you cannot live without being slave of something. You cannot live an empty life. You have to be doing something. Allah says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعْهُمْ نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا كِتَابَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُو الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ. He talks about the Jew. He has given them the book. He has sent a lot of messages to them. But unfortunately, they did not benefit from that book, which contains all the guidance they need to lead them to success in this life. But they did not heed the message. They did not take it seriously. They threw it. وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. Allah says, كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُ. As if they are ignorant. They don't know the truth and the reality about these books and the prophets of Allah. So what happened? They end up benefiting and taking and extracting from the books written by the devils and the magicians. One of the Mufassirin says, this shows, and we can extract from this ayah a very important maxim that a person should be using in this life, in his life. What is this maxim? He says, if Allah grants you an opportunity to benefit from that which is beneficial to you in your life, you get it? And unfortunately, you do not benefit from that. Allah is going to test you from making use of it opposite. Allah give you Quran, you don't benefit from the Quran, you're going to be benefiting from books which are contrary to the Quran, which might lead you astray. That's why he said, from this ayah we learn that either you worship Allah or you end up worshipping the devils and the shayateen, because you cannot stay without worshipping. There are some people who lost their uqul in this life who will tell you that they don't recognize somebody to be worshipped and they don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I call them somebody who lost his consciousness, because the natural disposition of humankind cannot deny the existence of Allah. But there are some people who deny the existence of Allah. They will tell you we are free thinkers, we do whatever we wish. Do they worship something? Yes. What is their ilah? Desires. That's why long ago Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them the worshippers of their desires. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. Do you see that person who takes his ilah, his hawa, to be his ilah? Because what is an act of worship? To follow, to accept, to obey, to listen. So he submitted to what? To his desires. So what is his ilah? Desire. It is not possible for a person to stay without worshipping something. So if you don't do that worship to Allah, you're going to end up worshipping somebody else. If you have money and you don't spend it for the sake of Allah, believe it or not, you will spend it in haram things for the sake of shaitan or for useless things. One of the two things has to happen. If you don't make your time alive with ta'at, you're going to make it alive with useless things and ma'asi. This is our life. So you should take benefit from this and make sure that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for you, you will take it and believe in that. And have yaqeen that this is the only way for you to live. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the truth and help us to have this conviction that Islam is the only solution. Islam is the only religion that can provide solution to all our problems. And Islam is the only religion that can lead us to success. I am saying this because looking at the youth nowadays, how many people are having doubt in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many young ones are having doubts nowadays because of the advancement of what? Advancement of the technology. They end up having doubt in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's really necessary, wallahi, that we intensify our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our heart and to keep it upon the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get stick with the scholars, attend lessons whenever you have time. Don't just live your life of dunya. Make sure that you have a time, you attend circles like this. Not necessarily this one, but anyone that can benefit you, where the truth is being given to the people, make sure you have something like that, that you go to renew your iman. You get it? You go to that place to renew your iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the truth. One of the scholars said, he was describing these type of people, especially people from our own contemporary era. He says, "Harabu min al-riq alladhi khuliqu lahu, fabulu bi-riq al-nafs wa shaytan." They run away from that slavery or servitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for. Allah created you to be His slave, to be His servant. They don't want that. They run away from that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them by being what? The servant of shaitan. Get it? You leave something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided you with, you're going to end up taking the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want. This is our life. Nowadays, look at the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed. Do we accept them? No, we don't. And what is going on in our life? A lot of tragedies. Right? Allah says, beat somebody who drink wine. Okay, we don't do that. But we have our own method. In almost every country where you go, they have their own method. And go and look at the way people are beaten. Look at the way it is prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is that? Because the idea in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought is to rectify and to fix that person so that he would not come back to it. And also, to let him feel ashamed of committing that sin. And also to let the community see that, so that nobody will imitate him in that. That's why if you look at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, it was very effective. Why? Because they do it correctly. And a person could be beaten 80 times, 40 times, but he will stand up, smile, sit with the Prophet ﷺ and keep talking. Nowadays, no, he can't do that. One or two, three is more than enough. To get it? If you look at that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed, so you can say, people run away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we end up taking that which is harsher than which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So we don't want this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you with the harshest one. قَالَ وَمِنَ النَّصِيحَةُ أَنْ يَكُونَ بَأْثًا دِينَ اللَّهِ فِي عِبَادِهِ is part of the nasiha lillahi azza wa jal. Please do try and remember all of these things. Right? They are part of this ad-deenu nasiha lillahi. So the Shaykh is trying to tell you, what are the possible understanding that could be included under this word, an-nasihatu lillah? One of the meaning is, an yakuna al-insanu ba'athan li-deenillah, to be among those people who spread the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every place. Fi ibadi, I mean to be amongst the du'at. Right? And this is the position of the prophets and the messengers. Wallahi, thumma tallah, there is no job that is greater than this job on earth. I will repeat, believe it or not, there is no job that is greater than the job of a da'i. So it's a kind of a loss to stay away from it. Do whatever possible to be among the da'wah committees. To be a da'i. Even if you don't join a committee, but you individually be a da'i. Don't leave opportunity. Whenever you have an opportunity, grant the da'wah. Why do I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this? Because Allah says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Is there anyone who said something better than the one who is calling people to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, there was nobody who was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among those best of humankind, 124,000 prophets and messengers, except that the main job Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to do is what? Da'wah. What does that mean? That's the greatest thing a person should be doing in this life. You know why is it great? Because the real reason why we're here on earth is to do the worship. Right, to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And da'wah is all about teaching people how to observe the religious rituals and activities. The reason why I'm here, the reason why you are here is what? Ibadah. And da'wah is all about teaching people how to observe the ibadah perfectly in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. How can you compare this job with something else? We're talking about the result. We're not talking about worldly gain. If you're talking about worldly gains, there are a lot of means for you to get rich. But we're talking about the result. Because the whole thing about this life is, a person should be trying to make sure that he has a good and a healthy and an excellent relationship with the one who created him. Do you get an idea? In whatever you're doing, the du'at, they're the guide for the rulers. The du'at, they're the guide for the workers. The du'at, they're the guide for the community. The du'as, they're the guide for the business people. The du'as, they're the guide. The du'at, they're the guide for the defense. The du'at, they're the guide for almost every single entity that exists on earth. That's the reason why they become the second people after the messengers and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am saying this because we have some people, if they study Islam and they try to give their da'wah representing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they feel deficient. Yaqi, that's wrong. That's disrespect to the position. Wallahi, that's disrespect to the position. I'm not saying you should be arrogant. No, you should be humble. But at the same time, don't you ever feel that you're deficient. Feel okay. And that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So it's part of the nasiha to be among the committee of the da'wah, the da'wah community. Ba'athan lidinillahi azza wa jalla fi ibadihi. And هذا مقام الرسل كله. To be somebody who spread the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since this is the position and the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of His prophets and His messengers. So I will stop here, inshallah. Next week, بإذن الله تعالى, I will begin with this part of the nasiha and then move on, inshallah. بارك الله فيكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.